If you got a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This morning, right, it's Resurrection Sunday. And this morning we're talking about the resurrection and the life. His name is Jesus Christ, looking at the story of Lazarus, right, and how just as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, man, he's looking to raise dead hearts to life today, right? He's looking to, get saints in the house to leave here walking in freedom today like Lazarus did. But before we dive into that, you know, was considering this day, Sister Kelly, and the importance of it, the significance of it. And one thing that the Lord showed me was this, and reminded me of, was this, that this truly is the greatest day in history. Right? There's, perhaps in your life, there's been many a great days, and I'll speak to mine. Some of my great days that have happened or that are going to happen, right? A great day that's happening for me in just a couple of months is, man, bless God, getting married, you know, beginning of June. That's going to be a great day, you know, in the Lord. You know, day's going to come where I'm going to be able to adopt, right, my fiance's daughter who she adopted, and we're going to be able to become one family together one day. Man, I'm pumped about that. Another great day, even though I was young, was February of 1996 when the Dallas Cowboys won their last Super Bowl, right? It's almost been 30 years, Sister Kathy, since we won again. I was young, but I heard it was a great time. You know, parents told me that. That was a great day. Man, great day was, getting saved, man, whenever I was a junior in high school and getting called to ministry my senior year of high school. Great day was when, man, our high school football team won the state championship my freshman year. Right, I was on scout team. It wasn't like I was a part of the team, but man, it was a great day. Well, all those days are great in my mind, and again, you may have some great days, but none of those days compare to this day. The fact that Jesus Christ, man, our Lord and Savior, rose from the grave, and the implications of Him raising from the grave. Man, hey, because He rose, man, death no longer has, man, any sting, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. Because He rose. Listen, hey, hell no longer, man, has victory or has to have victory in our life. Because He rose. Listen, hey, we can walk in freedom. Meaning this, if you're saved, man, you could say no to temptation and to sin. Man, you can walk in victory today through the power of Jesus and the fact that He rose from the grave. Hey, because He rose, listen, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the call for us is to choose, right, as we, if you're here on Good Friday, as we sang, right, that song, the call for us is to choose to hail King Jesus and to understand that He, in fact, not only is our Savior, but also He is our King. He's our King. And that's what I've entitled the message this morning, All Hail King Jesus. Here in John 11, we see that He demonstrates the fact that He is, man, King of Kings and Lord of Lords with the story of Lazarus. We're going to pick up towards the end of the story. But before that, you've got to know, man, that there was some stuff going on. Jesus was alerted of the fact, man, that His good friend Lazarus had died. But it said that Jesus, man, He hung out in the place where He was at for a couple of days, man, after His death. You know, folks wonder why. And then He decided to go and check things out. Mary and Martha are like, Jesus, man, you're too late. There's an old gospel song they used to be saying called, hey, you're 4 days late. 4 days late. He's already dead and gone, man. Hey, there's no way that He can be healed, man. He could have came when He was sick, but He's dead now. And Jesus said, hey, listen, I am the resurrection and the life, and watch out. Man, the Lord is about to show you, His glory. Right? We see, man, the human side of Christ and the fact that, man, He loved and cared for Lazarus. Right? And the fact that He loves and cares for us as well. And then we see the story of Him raising Lazarus from the dead. And so, if you're there, John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44, you can let me know that you're there by saying there. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, first and foremost, if you take, take your time if you need to get there. But if you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can look on the screen there. We're just going to read the six verses 38 through 44. This is what the Word of the Lord says. It says this, then Jesus, deeply moved again, displaying a range of emotions there, right? Deep indignation, with what was going on in the time, says that he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." We all know people like Martha, right? That love, man, hey, just to share, right? As if Jesus, the Son of God, didn't know that Lazarus had been dead that long. Didn't know that, man, the tomb was going to stink when they rolled the stone away. Martha just wanted to state the obvious there. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Why don't we pray one more time together? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would continue to meet with us here, speak to us, Lord, and we'll give you the glory for it all. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Real quick on this Easter Sunday, man, how can we be people that leave here, right, with Jesus as the true King of our heart? Because he's alive and well, like I said, man, hey, not only is he Savior, is he King. How can we leave here with Jesus being the King of our heart? How can we see the Lord move in our lives this Easter and beyond? And based on what we see here in the text, man, the first way that we could see that take place, right, is this. Our decision to choose to remove the stone. It says here in the text, right, Lazarus has been dead. Jesus is looking to do a work in his life, right? But Lazarus was in a grave and there was a stone there. And Jesus says, hey, you got to get rid of the stone. You got to get rid of the stone. You've got to move the stone out of the way, man. That is a barrier, if you will, man, from Lazarus getting out of this tomb, man, and living again. And in the same way, church, hey, we've got to choose to remove the proverbial stones or barriers that, man, hey, perhaps keep us right from meeting with God. Keep us right from allowing the Lord to do a work in our life. Got to remove the stones. Hey, lost person in here, man, you've got to remove the stone, man, that's keeping you from coming to faith. Saved person in here, hey, you've got to remove the stone. That's keeping you from growing in the Lord. Man, if we want to see, man, Jesus, hey, rule and reign as King in our heart, hey, we've got to choose to remove the stones. Got to choose to remove the stones. Man, for some of us, hey, the stone of doubt is keeping you from following the Lord today. Hey, perhaps some of you, hey, it's the stone of church hurt. Man, that's the new thing now, man. Yeah, you're here first time in a while, right? Kind of dragged here, if you will, man, with the family. But you've experienced church hurt. It's been a long while since you're here. Man, you got to remove that stone. Man, for some of us, man, it's the stone of busyness or pain. Whatever it is, man, we've got to choose to remove it. Got to choose to remove the stones. Looking at the text here, we can see that, man, we can remove the stones for a couple of reasons here. The first subpoint here is, hey, we ought to remove the stone because, man, the truth of the matter is Jesus cares for us. Listen, we're able to remove, hey, the proverbial stones or barriers that keep us from him, right? Because we know at the end of the day, Jesus ultimately wants that to happen. He cares for us. The first part of that text there speaks to it. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. Like I said, hey, that deeply moved there speaks to, a sense of indignation, right? Jesus was, upset about the situation at hand. His friend had died. Right, and perhaps he might have been a little unnerved or a little annoyed maybe with, the fact that there were folks that didn't believe that were there. But the reality is, hey, his indignation right, and his love for Lazarus, they weren't mutually exclusive. The truth of the matter is, man, he cared deeply for Lazarus. And he cared deeply, man, for Mary and Martha and that family there. So much so, man, that he asked for them to remove the stone so that he could do a work in their life. And in the same way, church, hey, Jesus wants to do a work in you. He wants to shake things up. Man, he wants to set you free because he ultimately cares for you. He wants to save you because he cares for you. And he demonstrated that in him going to the cross. I love, man, I stumbled upon this article for the New York Times back in 2015, Brother Lynn, entitled Googling for God. Googling for God. This article, man, by the name of Seth Stevens, shared, right, about how in the 2010s, man, it was a tough time for the reputation of God, if you will. He called it a bad decade for God. Folks were, you know, having existential crises, you know, pertaining to their faith. He shared three questions, essentially, that were asked among people about, right, God that you may identify with. The number one question asked was, hey, who created God? The second question asked, hey, why does God allow suffering? But then the third question, man, that really got a hold of me. The third most popular question asked in the 2010s pertaining to God was this. Why does God hate me? Why does he hate me? There are many people, right, even folks, man, hey, that are saved, that experience the love of God, man, that have fallen victim to this lie, that they think that God's out to get them, that God hates them. Circumstances in their life, right, that they've walked through. Struggles that they've walked through. Hey, stuff that they prayed for that God hadn't answered. It equates in their mind to God hating them. But I'm here to share with you this morning, hey, he doesn't. He loves you. As we talked about on Friday, man, hey, he demonstrated his love for you, man, and him sending his only son to lay his life down for you. Man, he's blessed you beyond measure, man. He cares. He cares. And for that reason, hey, we ought to choose to remove the stone. Quit trying to modify yourself. Quit trying to fix the situation yourself. Hey, choose to understand that Jesus cares for you and choose to remove the stone. Man, we've got to know that Jesus cares for us. And then, hey, the second way that we choose to remove the stone, right, is found in verse 39. Hey, we've got to get to a point where we stop justifying, man, keeping the stone there. Look back at the text. Man, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You can just, hey, picture this picture here. Martha said, hey, listen, Jesus, you don't understand, man. Hey, the tomb's going to stink. That body's going to stink if we roll the stone away. Why do we need to do that? Why would you do that? And you can see Jesus, man, hey, righteous and holy as he is, just say, hey, really, Martha? I just told you, man, that I'm the resurrection and the life. I just told you. Man, hey, God is getting ready to be glorified in this moment here. I just told you that. And by the way, isn't that kind of the point? Hey, moving the stone away and a dead man rising from the dead, isn't that kind of the point? Hey, stench and all. Lazarus is getting ready to live. Isn't that the point? Hey, if we're not careful, hey, as a church, man, as people of God, hey, we too can justify, man, keeping the stone there. For whatever reason, hey, listen, God really doesn't want to meet me where I am. Hey, God can't really change me. Hey, I'm just going to fall back to the same old thing. Oh, hey, it's woe is me. I can't live this Christian life out well, man. I can't raise my kids in the way of the Lord, man. All kinds of justification for keeping the stone there, man. And the call for us is to quit justifying. Man, choose to roll the stone away. We've got to be folks, man, that trust in the power of the Lord, man, and not justify keeping the stone there in place. We've got to roll it away. What are those stones in your life keeping you from Him? Hey, choose to roll them away. And then secondly and lastly, and if to make King Jesus King of our heart, not only do we have to roll the stone away, but man, hey, we got to choose to respond to His calling as well. Look back at the text. Jesus prays in verse 41, "So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that You always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You have sent me.'" A picture right of God the Son's relationship with God the Father, right? And the fact that, hey, you know, God is triune in nature here. See God the Spirit work. But then look what it says. "And when He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the man who died came out, his hands, his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Hey, listen, we've got to choose to respond, hey, to the calling. Respond to the calling. Like I said, you know, getting married in June, my fiance is here, hanging out with her. I've learned this on a human level. You know, hey, when she calls on me, there ain't no dilly-dallying around. No, I need to make sure to, you know, go and see what she needs at that moment. Hey, you know, when she calls me, it's no, hey, oh, I'm busy right now. I've learned that may not be the best response at the moment. I may need to head on over there, see what's going on, if you will. Right? Much greater way. Hey, when Jesus calls, man, the call for us is to choose to respond to His calling. What does that response look like? Man, just real quick here, right? The first response is, hey, to choose to walk out of the grave. I love what the old preacher said. He said this, man, hey, Jesus had to call Lazarus out by name, because if not, man, all the dead people that were around would have gotten up and walked out, demonstrating His power there. He had to call on His name. But hey, I thought about this, Brother Lynn. Man, when Lazarus, man, when he got up, when he, you know, rose, began new life, He could have just sat in that tomb and hung out there. He didn't have to walk out in that moment. Hey, he was alive, but he could have just stayed there in that place. Listen, hey, the call for us, man, is to choose to be people that, hey, walk out of the grave. Walk out of the proverbial grave. What that looks like is, hey, if you're lost in here, hey, getting right with God, getting saved, repenting and trusting in Him as Lord and Savior. For that person, man, who is saved, man, it means, hey, through the power of Christ, walking out of that pit that you may find yourself in, man, and allowing the Lord to pull you out of it and walking out of it. I'll give you another example of that. Man, hey, you know, loved school, enjoyed, you know, school more on the social aspect of things, you know, hanging out with friends and such. But I didn't love it enough, man, to when the last day of school came and that final bell rang, that I chose to sit in my seat and stay there. Hey, when that final bell rang and it was time to get out for the summer, a lot of times I was the first person out. I was booking it. Booking it. A lot of times, hey, left my spiral and over there. I didn't need it there. I didn't need that. School's out for the summer, man. I'm gone. I'm gone. Hey, and in the same way, church, listen. Man, the call for us in Christ, man, is to respond to His calling by walking out of that grave. You got to walk out of the grave. But secondly and lastly, hey, you've got to choose to walk in freedom. Choose to walk in freedom. Jesus here, man, it says in verse 44, man who died, he came out, hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Man, Lazarus came out, man, mummified. Think about that, man. He looks like a mummy at this moment. And Jesus said, hey, no, he's not going to stay like that forever. Yeah, he's going to walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. And in the same way, hey, the call for us is to do so as well. Hey, those of us in here who've been saved, we've been changed. We don't have to continue to walk in the chains, man, that we were once bound to. call for us is to walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. Now, you've got to understand, hey, that walking in this freedom, it is a process. The fancy theological term for that is sanctification, right? It's daily renewal in Christ, but also daily growth in Him. And that happens a couple of ways. Number one, that happens through our personal time with Him. As we spend time with Him, man, hey, here it is. He begins to remove the wraps, men that were bound in, if you will. He begins to remove those things in our life. That's where growth comes. But secondly, hey, it happens in the life of the church as well. It happens in the life of the church. Since COVID, man, a lot of folks, man, they'll say, hey, there's no need for church. I can just watch online. Just watch online, man. I can find my favorite preacher, say, sit up on my couch. I can watch it at 2 o'clock. Man, hey, after the Titans are done playing, I can just, hey, watch a little service. Get me a little word in. Man, I'm here to tell you, listen, and you know this to be true. It's not the same thing. The church, man, is more than just a place where you come and sit. It's a place where you come and do life. You connect with other believers, right? Hey, who help edify you, strengthen you, encourage you. Man, to continue to walk in this Christian walk. And hey, they too, us together, man, we help in unbinding the wraps so that we can walk in freedom. Paul tells it like this in Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So hey, don't go back to the yoke of slavery that we were in before coming to faith. Let's choose to be folks that walk in freedom. Let's walk in freedom. I'm thankful, man, that they chose to unbound Lazarus. And he didn't look like a dead man walking. He was free. And he walked in the freedom that he had in Christ. And we too can choose to do that. Choose to do that. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Man, this Easter, man, may we be a people that allow for the Lord, man, to do a work in our life. He's alive and well. Hey, for that reason, we've got a reason to sing, Brother Hunter. He's alive and well. For that reason, hey, we've got a reason to worship. We've got a reason to share, man, the gospel, because the Jesus that we serve and follow is alive and well. Man, because He's alive and well, He's worthy of our life. And so allow for Him and to work in you.